This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we've made it to hump day.
All the way, all the way. It's been an exciting week, right?
Yeah, so many crazy things have been happening. Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. Yeah, show prep today was like,
next.
next. But we're going to jump right in. We have a great guest. It's been a while since he has joined us. Salem City Councilor for Ward 3, Shane Matthews, is in the third chair. How are you, Councilor Matthews?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I don't think I've been on since I was running the campaign.
That was my recollection, too.
You don't write. I don't hear from you guys at all. So. No, I'm kidding. I'm very excited to be here today. I'm glad.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. Well, you have uniquely challenging. I mean, it's been interesting. I've been watching a lot of the council meetings, and we won't go into too much about it. I've aired my frustrations on them and everything, but you have to sit on the other side of the dais up there. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's definitely been some challenging things recently. And so hopefully smoother sales going forward. Who knows?
There you go. Here's the smoother sales. Yeah. So we got you on today, reached out because you got a proposal that you want to put before council to consider alternatives to liquidating city property to fund affordable housing. We wanted to have you on to kind of talk a little bit about that and explain what your thought process is and why you think this would be a good idea for the city.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much exactly right. So, and I'll give you a little bit of background history. So I'm proposing this alternative program right now that's called Salem First Keys Fund. Mm-hmm. And right now there's 79 properties in the city, 79 kind of duplexes, quadruplexes, just general homes that the city is looking to liquidate. And they want to liquidate them and they want to sell them direct to consumer for some of them. And other ones they want to sell to Habitat for Humanity. And the goal is to kind of provide low-income homeownership for individuals that ultimately would not be able to afford otherwise. I'm actually very supportive of this concept. I think a lot of times we focus so much on rentals and subsidizing rentals, and there's no exit strategy. There's no way for someone to get out of a subsidized rental.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that Section 8 long-term really expand, where people are staying in Section 8 housing for way longer because they're never getting out because we don't have any programs that really move them forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am supportive of either proposal. I'm supportive of the idea of moving people into homeownership. That said, the current proposal is essentially that we would sell the properties that we own at a pretty deep discount. We would sell them at about an 85% discount rate. So we'd only get about 15% of their value. And so one of the biggest problems there, obviously, is this is taxpayers' money. And we want to see the max bang for our buck on every cent and every dollar that we extract from someone's wallet, right? That should always be our goal.
Yeah.
And so the proposal we have right now still gets people into lower income or affordable housing, quote unquote, or affordable home ownership, but it doesn't actually, it's really just the few people that win the lottery that happen to be able to buy those houses that they could do that. So my proposal is something slightly different. My proposal is to sell the properties at full market value, which is approximately $25 million. So when we're talking numbers, we're not talking small numbers. We're talking, we want to sell $25 million right now for somewhere close to $5.9 million. So that's an aggressively big discount. So I want to sell them all for $25 million. And then I want to put that $25 million into what's essentially a savings account or an endowment fund. There's different names for it. And then that on interest every year, on the interest alone, we would net somewhere around $1 million. And we could use that $1 million every year to provide homeownership opportunities to people, as opposed to having to take it from that $25 million principal. We take the interest and provide basically down payment assistance to people, allowing them to take maybe a $350,000 house down to $250,000.
Okay, so it would be in the form of down payment assistance then.
Yeah, exactly. That's the objective. Down payment assistance and closing cost assistance. So like I ran some numbers this morning and I'm a realtor in the area. So I pulled that there are 73 homes right now in Salem that are for sale that all say they're financeable as far as condition goes, and they're at $350,000 or less currently in the market. If we were to take that $350,000 house and someone were to try to buy it without counting in taxes and insurance, which obviously increase anyone's payment, that principal payment is about $2,200 minimum. That's kind of where it sits, where our interest rates are.
Yeah.
If the Salem First Buys program could come in and with the interest that we got off that $25 million for that 1 year, just take that $1 million, take $100,000 of it and give someone basically a down payment assistance. We can drop that $350,000 cost down $250,000 for them, reducing their payment somewhere closer to $1,500. It's fairly large, especially because the whole goal is to move them on to something that they're buying that eventually they are able to sell and move into something larger and kind of start their life, not have to
start wealth building that way.
Right.
Yeah.
And the way the program works, though, is it's not a full forgiveness. So that money we're giving them isn't just giving them. It's a leg up.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to ask. It's exactly it. We're giving someone a leg up. We're not just giving it to them for free. So we give them the $100,000 or whatever it is they need to be able to get the home in an affordable cost that they could afford it. And when they sell the home in 10 years, whenever that is, we get paid back. No interest, nothing else, but we get paid back the amount that we had given them. And then that goes to help the next person, right? And so every year we're helping somewhere between 10 and 40 people get into homes, depending upon the loan amounts they need or the down payment assistance they need in perpetuity. Plus we're doubling down on that with all the money that we basically are able to extract back as those homes are selling. And so,
okay. And then again, these are properties that the city owns right now.
The properties the city owns, we're selling at full market rate. These are any property in the city that somebody wanted to buy. It just has to be in city limits. Someone sees it. They want to help. They want it. They aren't able to afford it. We can provide the assistance to help it.
Okay. But the initial ones right now that you want to sell are the city owned properties that some want to sell at a deep,
really deep
discount.
Exactly.
And you're saying, no, let's sell them at full market value and let's look at it this way. So how has that been received? Have you been publicly talking about that with your colleagues on the council?
Yeah. I mean, council's always a little bit tough right now with communication just because we don't really get to talk in private. It's always in public. Right. So I did bring this back in, I think it was June, to kind of let the council know publicly, like, this is what I'm looking at, so that you know that when I'm talking about it publicly, you know, I'm not violating any OGEC rules. And I think the tenor was certainly not opposition, but I think it's also, this is a unique program in the fact that it's not being done anywhere else.
So, I was going to ask too, it's brand new.
Right. It's brand new. I mean, the concept is out there. Like San Diego has a concept similar to this. Detroit, Michigan has a concept similar to this. Eugene even does, Portland even does, but they use different funds. So these are HUD homes and we need HUD to approve this program. So it's a little bit unvetted, but my whole proposal, and this will come up on Monday night, is essentially before we go and sell these properties at an 85% discount, we need to vet this program out and see if this could be better for a long-term strategy. Sometimes government, just generally, this is not Salem alone. This is kind of all government. They can get so caught up on the short term, right? Yeah. Fixing the short term problem and lose the long term sight. And politicians are a big part of that. Like, we only have a guaranteed X amount of time that we have are in office. And so the things you do, you need to see success immediately. And so because of that, it makes us almost hindered from looking at the long term. What is the benefit when I look out of the office, right? When I'm no longer in office, I still want this program to be existing. And so that's not sexy today. It doesn't solve the problem essentially today, but it does start a process that solves a much longer term problem. And so that's where I think sometimes government can be a little slow. They can be a little short-sighted, and politicians too. So that's what this is supposed to change.
Okay, so then you're saying it needs to be vetted, sort of run the numbers on the whole thing. Is that something staff will do then?
Yeah, so the proposal is on Monday night is essentially let's pause the 85% discount proposal that's there right now, and let's go and vet this proposal through HUD, because HUD has to approve any proposal we do with these homes. And so even if it was the 85% discount proposal, they would have to approve that. They would also have to approve this one. So we don't unilaterally get to make the decision. We just get to decide which proposal we give them to approve.
Gotcha.
And so that's the request, is take both of them forward and vet both of them. And then let's make a decision which one we want to do.
Interesting. Well, it'd be interesting to see, you know, to hear. We'll follow up with you definitely on how everything shakes out. I'll probably be watching the movie or the
most boring movie, you'll ever watch.
The council meeting. I know, right? I give it one star.
Yeah. That sounds right. I'm very excited about it. I think there are a few things you get to do in this position that there's a lot of things you get to do that are exciting. There are a few things you get to do that actually hit a passion point for you. And this is one of those things. Like, even when I wrote this concept, I thought it was a great concept, but I wasn't invested like I am today. And now I find myself so invested in this idea that I desperately want to see it happen, because I think it does. It solves the problem that we've been trying to solve for so long, is how do we move people off of subsidized rental assistance into homeownership? Because we're just seeing the subsidized rental assistance go drag on longer and longer and longer for people, and we're never exiting them out. And so this is a way to exit them out and start helping more people. So
yeah, it's intriguing. It's certainly intriguing. Go ahead.
Well, I you're right. So much of government concepts is we need immediate reactions, but you look at it and you go, so if we're subsidizing rentals or, you know, anything else with a one-time fee, we're not bringing back any money. We're not sustaining it long-term. We got to constantly bring in money from taxpayers mm-hmm. to keep going. Here's an opportunity, as long as government doesn't dive into that $25 million, to kind of just do it off of the interest, and you build it year after year. You can help more people as the initials get sold and you get paid back that money.
Exactly, because that payback goes back into the principal. So you're always building the interest with inflation. And so, and that's part of this, is that this should be something that, you know, year one that it actually is in functionality, we should help a minimum of 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is to grow that over time with the money that's coming back into the principal, that you're able to help more and more every year. The proposal that's there right now helps, like I say, somewhere between 33 and 79 families get a home one time.
One time.
And that has a rate that they want to sell those properties of about 8 to 9 per year over the next X amount of time. We're doing the same with Salem First Keys. We're helping the same amount of people or more, but ours continues longer. And so 20 years, Salem First Keys can still run. And if at any point in time the council decides or the city decides this is not a program that's worth continuing, terminate the program. You've lost nothing, and you still have $25 million sitting in an account that you can go spend where you want because you didn't discount it down to 5.
Interesting. Interesting. We keep it for one more segment. I got some more questions for you, because I want to talk about potholes with you, counselor.
Yeah, great.
So let's talk about counselor. We're talking with Salem City Councilor for Ward 3, Shane Matthews, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
All right. We're talking today with Salem City Councilor for Ward 3, Shane Matthews. So Salem Business Journal, I think it was yesterday, Salem needs about $11 million bucks to fix some potholes. So, and that just would get Salem to like fair.
That's putting it mildly. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So Monday night we had a council work session, and the work session was all about transportation funding. And one of the things that came out during that is that I'm going off memory for numbers, but I think 61% of our roads in the city right now are in fair condition or better, right? That's in order to maintain that, it would take $11 million.
Okay.
Per year, not one time,
right.
Per year.
Yeah, per year.
To grade that to a higher grade where most of our roads were in good condition, it would take $24 million a year. To get into excellent condition, where 80% of your roads are in excellent condition, it would take $40 million a year. Mm. So that was the city's projections on what we needed in order to basically take care of a transportation problem. And of course, this is all coming off of ODOT and kind of the amounts that we get from ODOT. So
Right. So there were things being bandied about were fuel taxes, street fees, and other revenue options. Anybody talk about cutting things?
Cutting things was not coming up very much. I do think one of the things that is talked about a little bit, and I brought this up that night, we get these funds called CDBG funds, and it's Community Development Block Grant, and they're from the federal government. And those traditionally, the city kind of gets to decide, like, what is our priorities? What do we want to spend these on? And traditionally, we have decided to spend them on subsidized apartments. That has been our goal. And so even right now, at this moment, we have just under $1 million. It's 900 and some thousand sitting in an account allocated towards a subsidized housing projects that's been unknown yet. We don't know what it is. We just hope someone brings it to us, and then we'll allocate these to that. This is funds that come in every year. So that $900,000 will come back next year, and it's kind of in perpetuity. We have the option as part of this CDBG option is to reallocate those funds to ADA improvements. And I don't think there's anyone that, if you know anyone with a wheelchair or walker or anything else, you'll be very aware that in Salem we have severe sidewalk issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially in the older neighborhoods where those tree roots are pushing whole sections of it up. Yeah. Yep.
And it's our responsibility. If a city tree damages your sidewalk, it's our responsibility to fix that sidewalk. And so that is part of our purview. That was part of the work session on Monday night as well. Now, if the sidewalk is damaged for something that wasn't a city tree, that's not our responsibility. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. but that is one thing that we're not able to keep up on even. And so, so that's one of my goals, is to try to look at out reallocating this $900,000 to doing sidewalks. I think the proposal, or the projection that night was that the average 5x5 sidewalk cost the city about $275 to do. And we, with $900,000, can do about 3,500 of those. And so you give me 3,500 sidewalk panels completed in Salem, I'll be pretty happy. So that's the goal, is to try to really start focusing on the ADA part of this, because I think that is a even when I was at Hoopla this year, we had a huge sign in front of one of the sidewalks where they were basically like, nope, sorry, can't go past here. Well, what is the other option? On both sides of it is grass. And so if you're in a wheelchair, well, I guess you don't go to Hoopla. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I guess not. Or you get all-terrain tires or something.
Yeah, I guess that's the option.
Yeah. And again, those are the kind of things that, like you said, the city, especially if it is a city-owned tree, it is the responsibility to do that. I did notice, I was kind of looking at some of the comments under the Salem Business Journal article, and a lot of people are like, when, especially, you know, taxes and fees and things like that, are like, not a big appetite. I mean, it's, of course, everything that happened with the payroll tax debacle. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a big appetite for that. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, how is this being presented? How is it going to be presented to Salemites?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I agree. I don't think that the general Salemite right now has a big appetite for being taxed more. I don't think they have, it's not even a big appetite. I just don't think they have the pocketbooks to be taxed more right now.
Right,
I think that's the reality. And so as far as how will this be presented, I think it's a big question. A lot of different revenue options were proposed to us. Mm-hmm. And is there a possibility that that's in the future? I think that's an absolute possibility that someone will bring a proposal for that. I don't know which one. I don't know where. I heard it in that conversation. I know there was some conversation about looking at businesses that don't have locations here, but still use our transportation areas as kind of arteries to sell their products. And so basically they're kind of making money on something that they're not necessarily paying into, because they're not paying in to fix the roads because they don't necessarily have a building here. I thought that was somewhat interesting of a concept, but still, I mean, we aren't a business friendly state or either. And so to drive more business out also doesn't seem fantastic. And so, as far as where the future goes on that, I don't know, but for me, I'm looking, like I say, at for where is some other funds that we might be able to reallocate to this before we directly pull out of someone's wallet again.
So. Well, and I think with the sidewalks as well, I mean, those could be done relatively quickly, so you can show a positive outcome that way and give a real benefit, especially to the people who live by the sidewalk.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's definitely true. I get, it's kind of interesting. Anytime we poll the city, you know, homelessness and crime come up as the top two things. I think most people know that, drugs specifically and crime. And I'm very excited because we are getting a drug team that's going to be starting off, it looks like, in October. And so that's something I've been pushing for a lot. I'm very excited to see that kind of come back to Salem. They'll go specifically after distribution. If you can get the dealer, then we can start reducing the amount of drugs in Salem. But with that, those are kind of the two things that pull the most. But anytime you go to a neighborhood association, sidewalks, traffic, transportation, this is what is like your day-to-day, the people in your in the neighborhood, when they're just like, hey, what's frustrating me? It's these things too. And so so it definitely needs more focus. It definitely needs our attention. So
Hunter,
I'm just kind of that number of 61% are only fair in this city.
Yeah,
I know.
And I'm kind of just going, that means 39% of our roads are less than, and I'm kind of like, I seem to drive down those ones constantly.
Well, and I think it's fair or better. So it's basically we rank are in the fair piece. And so we might have some of those in excellent condition, obviously. And I do think there was actually a breakdown. I just don't remember off the top of my head of how many were in each category.
But Gilchrist, they just finished up. So that's probably good. Excellent.
That's probably good. Yeah. Commercial will look nice soon because it's
McGilchrist is nice. I mean, you go over those railroad tracks, you don't even feel them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
I mean, it really is. It really is nice. So we got a couple more minutes with you. Anything else you want to make sure our listeners know about?
I think one of the biggest things I'm probably, like I say, in the first segment, we talked about the Salem First Keys. And
I think
a lot of times people forget your voice has so much more impact than you think. I mean, obviously, if you show up to council and you testify, that's huge. That's massive. It's impossible to ignore. But even a quick email, even just taking a 1 minute to just send a quick email to council, and we all get it. And it just saying, hey, I support this proposal, or hey, you need to focus on this, or whatever it is. every one of us get those. And I think most of us, if not all of us, read them. And so my ask, I guess, to your listeners would be if you would take just a second and send a quick email to citycouncil@cityofsalem.net, just saying that you support, if you do, the proposal I talked about in the first segment, because it is something that's important. It's just that people get behind it or behind anything that you think is important. So
Of times it's a numbers game on that. And a lot of times it is the squeaky wheel. You see that if you watch the council meetings, you can see when the people are mobilized, they tend to get more listened to. And so if you can bring more emails and more support in support of this, it makes a difference. Counselors don't know your opinion unless you tell them.
Yep. Well, and the reality is the recommendation by staff right now is to discount these properties by 85%.
Yeah.
That is going to be the outcome likely unless the community steps up and says, hey, that's not what we want you to do with our money. And so we want you to spend it more wisely.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, a quick email. I have the proposal and I will be posting all that at show notes. You can click on that and read that as well as the email address. Yeah. The city council that gets it to everybody. You don't have to do, seven different with the mayor and everything, but you're right. It is important that counselors hear from you. You can't read minds. And a lot of times those that show up tend to get what they want.
Yep. That's definitely true. That's definitely true. Well, thanks again so much for having me back today. Don't let it be so long next time. I'd appreciate that.
you can email me.
All right, counselor. I will. That's true. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Well, we'd like to know. Go ahead, Hunter.
Whenever you have something you want to talk about, reach out because we're happy to discuss it because sometimes we end up discussing it without knowing that you might have an opinion on it.
It's true. It's true.
Exactly. And so we regularly have Mayor Julie Hoy on as well, and we'll for as long as we can with her. But it's really important. And I would encourage people to watch those council meetings as well. So tune into those. Again, email the city council. And again, we've been talking with Salem City Councilor for Ward 3, Shane Matthews. Shane, thanks for your service. Thanks for stepping up and doing a hard job, and you're doing it for free.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Good conversation with Councillor Matthews. That's great. And so, he does have a standing invitation to pop in anytime there's stuff going on, because I can't watch every meeting. As much as I would love to.
Well, you can't stay sober long enough to watch every meeting. Come on.
It's like, oh, man, this meeting's going to go till what time? Anyway, so I will have all that up. I've got the proposal. I've got all the stuff you can read. And again, it's really important to communicate with council. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 seconds just to end a sentence. I support this.
Well, and that's all they need to see. And by doing it through email, you don't have to go out there and risk whatever bad behavior you might be seeing out on the street side or within the chambers.
In the parking garage or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, we haven't done this in a while. Today is national. This one is interesting. It's World Photography Day, which is very cool. I took a photography class back when I was a little kid and tried to work in the darkroom and everything. I wasn't very good at it, like developing my own pictures. I wasn't very good at it. I had a little Instamatic with the little the flash bar on it and everything, and I took some interesting pictures and tried to do the thing. I wasn't very good at it, so whatever.
The okay photos, yeah, I remember. I remember doing that in high school, and I think mine was more of a lack of motivation. It wasn't that I couldn't do it. It's kind of like I don't know if I want to spend that time getting this done and this and that. And from a guy's perspective, we're not out flashing pictures all the time. My phone doesn't have nearly as many pictures as my wife's or my daughter's.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I think that's definitely a chick thing, that the more pictures on there. It's also National Aviation Day. Remember when flying used to be fun? Well, not fun, but at least it wasn't torture.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother, that's like a 6-segment show. Come on.
Well, like I said, I recently flew in June. I flew back to Cape Cod, and I didn't have a terrible experience on the plane. So that was good. Today's also National Potato Day. Here's looking at you, Idaho. Uh-hoo. I do love a good spud. Mm-hmm. Definitely love that.
Oh, yeah. No, especially if you got some red meat to go right there with it.
meat and potatoes, man. That's so America. And of course, this one. It's talk like Jar Jar Binks Day. Misa don't think so. I'm not. I don't participate in that. No.
Oh, you
and
just did. You just did.
I know. Darn it. Darn it. It didn't catch on like Talk Like a Pirate Day. Although I don't know that if Talk Like a Pirate Day is still that big of a deal. But I don't know. And that's in September, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the Jar Jar Binks Day. I don't. How would this even get started? You know,
some mean person got it started.
It's a Lucasfilm Disney push, you know, behind
it was
the scenes.
A terrible character. I remember we had for one of my son's birthdays, we got one of the big life-size cutouts of Jar Jar Binks. They just demolished that thing.
I actually heard that, you know, initially the thought process was he was going to be to turn out to be the biggest bad guy of them all. But
really?
His reception was so bad that they were like, yeah, no, we just got to get rid of him.
I had not heard that.
That was
wow.
a rumor. That's a rumor that, you know, he was going to be one of those top bad guys. And it just never happened because he was not very well received.
No, it was just obnoxious, just obnoxious. So I don't celebrate that day. Anyway, a lot of stuff happened in history on this day, which is interesting. In 1692, five women were hanged for being witches in Salem, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about hysterical, you know, feeding on itself and feeding on itself. What a time to be alive, huh?
Yep. And of course, Old Ironside in 1812 earned its name defeating the British frigate Guerrier off Nova Scotia.
Yep. I've been on that Old Ironside. I toured it because I grew up in New England. So we would go to Boston for our field trips. And I remember going in there and I was like, a lot of people were a lot smaller back then on Old Ironside.
Well, we found that out, you know, touring the bombers and the B-12 down at, at the airport.
At the airport, yeah, with the B-17 Alliance and stuff. Yeah, yeah. In 1909, the first race was held at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. 1909. Mm-hmm. Can't imagine they racked up any really super high speeds, though, back in 1909.
Come on. They had some cruisers out there. It would be now kind of a classic cruise mentality. In 1964, the Beatles kicked off their American tour at the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
And nobody in the audience could probably hear them for all the screaming girls. In 76, the GOP nominated Gerald Ford. And of course, if you remember, he became president after Nixon resigned. I think he always got a bad rap from Saturday Night Fever because I guess he was a football player and he had a football energy and sometimes his knee would go out. But Chevy Chase sure made hay of that to make him like he was this big, bumbling fool. And it was like, okay, well, I mean, I was a kid. I didn't care about politics back then.
Well, but you know, you go back and you remember, especially like Sarah Palin.
Yeah,
and the way that the mockery from Saturday Night Live in particular created this belief that people didn't know if it was real or legit. And I'm sure the same thing happened with Chevy Chase and Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
Is it really Gerald Ford or is it Chevy Chase? And most people would guess, hey, it was Gerald Ford.
Yeah. Well, Tina Fey did a masterful job. But I remember the Caribou Barbie and stuff. I always liked Sarah Palin. I mean, you know, in 1991, Gorbachev was placed under a house arrest for 2 days. There was a coup that failed.
Mm-hmm. And in 1993, Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin married. Guess what? It didn't last.
No. Remember the video or the recordings, the phone calling his daughter, all these names? Alec Baldwin. Ugh, don't get me started on Alec Baldwin. In 2004, Google started trading on the stock market at $85 a share. Any ideas what it's worth today?
Well, I do because you wrote it down here, and it's a lot more than $85.
$13,400. If only we had bought stock back in 2004. Oh, well.
And that's so recent. I mean, that's the craziest part. That's, yeah. I mean, 20 years ago. In 2010, Operation Iraqi Freedom ends. 6th Brigade stayed in to train Iraqi troops.
Yeah, so lots happening today in history. It's always so interesting to go back and to see what happened back in the day. Well, what's happening today? Coin is reporting. Get ready for it. Time to be afraid, Hunter.
Oh, I'm already shaking.
Where's our dun dun dun? COVID is growing in Oregon, CDC says. Okay.
Is it out?
How do you think this is being responded and reacted to?
Oh, I'm guessing utter panic is racing through the veins of every Oregonian. I mean, it's probably growing somewhere out in the middle of Portland, would be my guess. You know, because that's where they can drum up the most fear.
Yeah. Well, it's being they must have missed the memo. Must be an election year. Basically, mockery and ridicule.
Well, see, that was my first take when you sent me the story. My first thought was, I am so not surprised it's growing in Oregon because Governor Tina believes she's running against Donald Trump for the governor of Oregon. So they need something that, you know, maybe they can make him look bad with the return of COVID.
Oh, and really, I'm looking in here and just, again, social media is not real life. Nobody's buying it. Nobody. Oh, there's my friend Jason with his, oh my, OMG, panic.
Well, the other question is now that, you know, at the federal level, it's been officially removed from a must-have shot.
Yeah.
But Oregon, you know, because we are so against the federal government, we're going to keep it in there as, you know, you better get your COVID shot. Are they trying to up their numbers again and show that, you know, people love their COVID shots?
I guess. I don't know. I still see masks in Oregon.
Yep.
I don't really see them much other places that I go to, but I do see them in Oregon. We were at the coast a couple weeks ago, and there were masks, people wearing masks out in the fresh air.
Well, that's salty air if you're out at the coast. You know, maybe you just don't want the salt intake out of the air.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, the rest of Oregon's burning, so there's an excuse to wear a mask, right? Yeah, even though they tell you it doesn't really work for those big, huge, you know, smoke particles.
Well, they do link to a story in here. I'm not even going to read it because, I mean, with what we're seeing, especially at the national level with the disgrace of Fauci, and still waiting for a perp walk on that goblin. A lot of people are like, I'm just seeing a lot of BS. Check the calendar. It's not 2020. Oh, were we allowed to call it the flu again? I mean, just disdain, derision, and people like, yeah, whatever.
Well, and that's the thing is knowing the truth that we do now, like we've said, you'll never kind of get that I was wrong apology from people.
No.
But now if you're trying to rehash it, they're allowed to push back on it without, you know, without saying they bought into it 110%. So that's why you're going to see a massive pushback on this idea that COVID is something coming back and ripping and roaring and we need to be afraid once again.
Yeah, no, not buying it. Didn't buy it the first time, actually. Uh-huh. Oh, no, I don't expect any apologies or anything like that. But there are a lot of people out there. I really don't memory hole it. And that's the thing. I think there's a lot of people that want to just say, can we just move on and not, do we have to relitigate this? Well, we don't necessarily have to relitigate it, but just know I'm not forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just know that you were very quick to sell your rights down the river and encourage and demand other people follow you down that river. And you were pretty awful to the people that said, no, I'm not going to jump off the bridge with you.
Yeah, exactly. So, because something like this will be tried again. I think it'll be probably more on immigration. I don't know, but something, the playbook, and it was pretty successful because I think only about 24% of Americans didn't go along with this.
Yeah. I think, the vaccination, at least one jab numbers are, I think, over 70%.
Yeah.
So they found people that enough push, enough pressure, enough rewards gets people to do what you're demanding and wanting. And yeah, I don't think it'll happen at a state level election, but there will be a presidential election coming up in the next decade or so, I'm sure. That something will be brought back in to try and recreate.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. And then I want to talk. Tina Kotek got an endorsement and she's out there proudly touting it. And it's like, well, not so fast.
Well, okay, proudly tout it, but I don't know who it's going to impress. I guess that's the way to put it.
A certain faction, you know, those people still wearing masks at the coast.
The people still with a VHS recorder doing workouts in their living room.
Yes, exactly. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. So, yeah, there's this endorsement being touted. And a hat tip to Representative Dwayne Junker, whose social media page, he's putting out some really good information. He's a state representative for Oregon's 3rd District. Tina Kotek has been endorsed by the Jane Fonda Climate Pack.
Woo!
This is a pack that openly says its mission is to defeat politicians who support fossil fuels and elect, quote, climate champions. It backs candidates based on their climate records and has celebrated candidates who prioritize climate justice and aggressive environmental policies. Jane Fonda herself is a longtime Hollywood activist who partnered with Greenpeace on Fire Drill Fridays and was repeatedly arrested for climate demonstrations. That's most recently, of course, those who are older. I was a little kid when all this was going on. Hanoi Jane, I mean, there are many, many Vietnam veterans who have never and will never forgive her for the propaganda she pushed during the Vietnam War. I don't like the lady. I was like a teenager when she was doing all her workout videos and whatever. I'm not a fan, but yeah. So, I mean, obviously she's free to push whatever she wants, but I don't know. Who do you think this is going to like? Ooh, the Jane Fonda Climate Pack. Whoa.
Oh, this is only going to appeal to the wild climate base, the ones that would have us sign petitions to ban, you know, any animal
hunting
consumption.
Let's mouse traps.
Yeah, I'm just going. This is not going to be this widespread, wonderful thing. You may get a few of the, you know, the mothers of the 80s that were big Jane Fonda workout video fans, maybe. But I would hope that they're not that easily swayed with the mentality that, you know, we just need to get rid of all fossil fuels and we need to start walking.
You first to them. Yeah. So she's proud of this. It really, again, she's running against Donald Trump in the Oregon gubernatorial race, which is weird. These climate things, it's higher costs, more mandates, more regulation, more government spending. I don't know if she's trying to maybe position herself in putting out her accomplishments. She does have a record, but this is crazy stuff. People are worrying about housing costs and energy bills and taxes, not this stuff.
Well, I love every time she comes out and tells us about some new climate policy or climate mentality. But at the same time, if you look nationwide, Oregon has one of the strictest climate, you know, control policies to begin with. And are we really, you know, putting us on the polar opposite when you have India, China, and other countries that do not care?
Yeah. Making people's lives miserable doesn't do anything for the climate. And that's all these policies do, is they make it harder and more expensive and less comfortable.
Yep. And here and, we are in one of those states.
You're not a good person if you're willingly I mean, if you want to willingly sacrifice your air conditioning on a 97-degree day, you go.
Yeah.
Do that. But to force everybody else to do it, remember, you know, all the thing about, you know, blowers and lawnmowers and all this other stuff and gas powered this and gas powered that, making everybody's lives just a little harder, a little less comfortable for some stupid agenda. Well,
let's go back within the last couple of years since after that 2022 election, where they really ramped up the idea of natural gas being such a bad thing for you and I to have. At the same time, they were installing natural gas into the governor's mansion. So does Jane know about this? Jane might want to reconsider if she finds out that the governor herself made sure she had natural gas.
Rules for thee, but not for me, apparently. Yeah, all of it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We should be stewards of the environment, good stewards. You know, like let loggers log, let ranchers ranch.
Well, and clean up after yourself. Don't throw your litter on the ground.
Yeah.
Don't throw your cigarette butts out the car. All those real simple ones, that's what we all should be doing. Not sitting there going, oh, let me hand you everything out of my paycheck so I can feel greener.
You're welcome to write a bigger check to the government if that's what you want to do. I don't see anybody on that side of the issue doing that ever.
Yeah, I always find it so funny when they kick and scream about Donald Trump's taxes, and I'm going, so you forked over extra? You made sure you didn't find a single loophole that you could utilize to cut your tax bill down? Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's this endorsement. Okay, I think if the Drazen campaign should make some hay out of this. I don't know whether they will or not. Have you heard anything? Are there any more debates or anything like that? Any forums? I haven't really seen much.
It's really gotten quiet. Granted, it is August, so I think we will start seeing a lot more as we get into September and we hit that 2 month till election day period. A lot of people are gone, and I just thought, and I think it's a little bit quiet. We're seeing, you know, and of course, Tina's running against Donald Trump. And I don't see Jane Fonda moving the needle very much.
I don't. And, you know, everyone is out there, you know, they're at the beach, they're enjoying things with their family. I wonder if they're wearing their Donald flops. Have you heard of these? Donald flops.
Uh-oh, Donald flops.
They're flip-flops, which we used to call thongs back in the day. I can't do that anymore because thongs are something else now. But these are like flip-flops that have an impression of Trump. So every time you walk on the beach, you're leaving a little impression of Donald Trump all the time.
Oh my gosh. Imagine that down the Oregon beaches. You're going to drive so many people crazy. Oh,
I think it's hilarious. Go ahead.
No, I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking of ways you could, you know, maybe utilize these, you know, around, you know, like downtown Salem and things like that, where you could,
to be able to leave an impression.
I know. I'm trying to think of where we could, you know, get that. With the, you know, those lush lawns aren't going to leave much impression.
And you don't get much snow because you could get like snow boots with it. I just think it's hilarious. I thought it was fake. It's still... I don't know. Apparently somebody has a pair.
Well, and that's, it's probably not widespread. Somebody probably made them themselves and is just out having a good old time with it. But maybe somebody will pick it up and you'll be able to go get your flippy floppies from Target with Trump's face on them.
It's pretty funny. Somebody did post this like donaldflops.store, summer sale, 50% off. So I don't know. I don't know. The other thing, and I saw this too, and this I'm pretty sure is fake. I don't play this game. Yeah, this is fake, but it's hilarious. And it's a little AI sloppy. Portland made it on Grand Theft Auto. And the video that goes along with it is kind of funny. It is funny. It is AI, no doubt. You've got Voodoo Donuts. You got a purple hair drinking from the bubblers. There's a Tesla in it, which is weird. And Portland looks like a dystopian hellscape. And then the final mission is to move to Vancouver.
Oh, perfect. Well, it's like... art imitating reality.
it looks like something out of Blade Runner. It's really dark.
Well, I'm just sitting here going, go talk to some of those people that are because, you know, a lot of cars are stolen out of Portland. So it kind of makes sense that maybe they create a segment of this game that brings reality to, you know, the masses that don't realize what Portland is truly like.
True. And further down the thread, there are actual pictures of what some of the AI slop may have been based on. There is an RV on fire in one of these pictures as well. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not real, but it's funny and you got to laugh. So get your Donald flops and go to the beach and...
Or go wherever you can trigger someone with your Donald flops. Maybe a WNBA game. I don't know.
Again, we're just about out of time. Again, everything we talked about with Counselor Matthews will be linked up in show notes. You'll definitely want to read the proposal. I think it's interesting. We'll have him back on as a follow-up and kind of see what happens. I may or may not watch the meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do I have to?
It depends on what other options you have. I mean, if you're going to just twiddle your thumbs, you might as well, right? If you're going to join beverage, you might as well do this with it.
But again, it is really important to make your opinions heard on this, especially when we have, you know, guests on like that. And so that was a good call to action. So all of that will be in show notes. We got great show tomorrow. We got an interesting guest coming on tomorrow as well. So go out, enjoy the day, put your Donald flops on, go to the beach, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.